Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
With my boy Mike in the nation, jumping with my boy Mike in the nation. This is Mellow Mike Savage. A whole new approach in light of the Arizona problem. We don't want to upset any of the ninnies in Congress, so we're going to do Mellow Mike on the Savage Nation. We don't want the Prozac congressman to go get a double dose. They may as well ban pens, paper, electronics. Any kind of electronic device should be banned because, after all, an electronic device could transmit something perceived to be a threat to a congressman. I mean, what if you have an electronic device within 1,000 feet of Representative Peter King of New York? Just think about it. It could be considered an attack device. A BlackBerry 1,000 feet within a congressman now could be considered an attack device. You could be plotting something. Did you read that story today? Another Republican came out of the closet today. In essence, another political transgendered Republican, Pete King, comes out. He's in favor of gun control. You can't carry, a weapon within 1,000 feet of certain selected individuals. He didn't define who they were. Postmen. Play that again, because I don't think that I even want to talk about him. Jumping with my boy Mike in the nation. By the way, I have a question. Here's a stumper for the Savage Nation. I was staring at the picture of Sheriff Dupnik from Arizona. I was staring at Arizona Sheriff Dupnik for a while. I didn't know whether he was a deceased relative that he looked like. I didn't know who he was. He's the one blaming conservative talk radio for the shooting. But he's a dead ringer for which unknown talk show host? Because I finally figured it out. I broke the code today. Anyone who could tell me who Sheriff Dupnik, he looks like a slightly older version of a talk show host who has three affiliates. 1-800-449-8255. I see on Drudge, MSNBC loser Chris Matthews cites Michael Savage's reason for Arizona shooting. You know, if he actually said it, I'll sue him, that's all. That loudmouth fraud. Hey, Chris, why don't you come on the show with your foaming big mouth and why don't you say it to me? Chris, you fraud, you loser. You jealous loser, you. Why don't you come on the Savage Nation and say that? You fraud, you. Chris Matthews cites someone named Mark. I don't know who it is. Oh, the other talk show host. The imposter. Mark, the guy who sounds like a Jewish grandmother having a hysterectomy without anesthesia. How could he be responsible for the shooting? Chris Matthews cites Mark Levin as reason for Arizona's shooting. Mark Levin is the thing that just builds and builds in their voice. And by the time they go to commercial, they are just in some rage every night with some ugly talk. Ugly sounding talk, and it never changes. Matthews said. Matthews, you've always been a Democrat hack. You've always been a loser. You've always been jealous of people who are far more superior to you in virtually every aspect of this medium. You could never make it in radio, so you wound up on that flop MSNBC, which wouldn't exist were it not for government contracts for General Electric. So, Chris, why don't you come on to the Savage Nation? The phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Every time you listen to them, they're furious. Do I sound furious? Furious at the left? I'm not furious. Obama is a Leninist and a Marxist. Does that sound like I'm furious, Chris? You are a pimp for the Democrat Socialist Party of America, in my opinion. Does that sound like I'm furious, Chris? I'm not angry. I just know who you are. I mean, I was a biologist for decades, Chris. and I could identify thousands of species of plants. So I could identify several different species of media personalities. You are clearly just the hack for the Democrat Socialist Party of America. That's all. I mean, that's the genus and species. Democrat Socialist Variety Matthews. And as far as Obama, a lifetime of Leninism and socialism, never ran a lemonade stand, so far as we know. Everything was handed to him. Does that sound like I'm furious or angry? I'm just defining who you are and who Obama is. Doesn't sound like I'm angry, does it? Oh, tone it down. Al Sharpton says we need new standards on the airwaves. Oh, Freddy's Fashion Mart. Hey, did Al Sharpton need any standards when Freddy's Fashion Mart went up in smoke? How come there was no call for standards when Al Sharpton accused Detective Pagonis of smearing a black lady with feces and raping her? There was no call for standards when Al Sharpton was outside Freddy's Fashion Mart with a bullhorn. How come there's a call for this now? So there they are. They're all lining up, blaming their abettors. They're trying to take a shot at those of us who make more money than them and are more popular, because they figure they'll fill our microphone if they can knock us out of the air with this lie, the big lie. This is what happens with this is what you call, how would you define a guy like this who's a lifetime Democrat socialist operative who can't make it in radio, who has a marginal presence on television, blames people who make more money than him, who are better, far more talented than him. Have they ever written a book anyone bought? No. Hey, did anyone hear my Donald Trump interview last night? Everyone heard it, but nobody reported on it. Donald Trump calls for a 25% tariff on Chinese products on the Michael Savage Show. The Donald may run for POTUS, POTUS USA 2012. Is he the one who will say to Barry Soetero, Obama, you're fired? Obviously, he has instant name recognition, and tonight Mr. Trump was on the Michael Savage Show. After meeting Dr. Savage at one of Savage's book signings for Trickle Up Poverty, let me correct that. I have never done a book signing for Trickle Up Poverty. He met Dr. Savage at Mar-a-Lago at a luncheon, not at a book signing. I don't do book signings. The reason I don't do book signings is I'm afraid of left-wing wackos like Chris Matthews. See, if I did a book signing, all of these fuming haters on the left, they frighten me. I don't think they should be allowed within 1,000 feet of a book signing by a conservative. I personally think that a law should be passed in America prohibiting Chris Matthews from appearing within 1,000 feet of anyone who's a superior in radio who's on the other side of the political spectrum, because he's dangerous. And I'd like to see a law passed prohibiting him and the others on the left. Joe Scarborough should be prohibited from attending a book signing by a conservative who really has brains and the ability to get anywhere. Olbermann, you know him, the one who was allegedly urinates under the desk, should be prohibited from within 10,000 feet of any conservative doing a book signing. Al Sharpton should be prohibited from attending any state that there's a conservative doing a book signing. Al Sharpton shouldn't be allowed in the state during the book signing. The Arizona sheriff should go to work for Saddam Hussein's descendants in Iran. I think that the county, the sheriff from Arizona who was saying that Rush Limbaugh is responsible for this, I think that that sheriff should take a job in Syria. That's the kind of rhetoric that we would expect from a Syrian politician in Syria. Could you play Jumping with My Boy Mike in the city for me, in the nation? Because I don't want to get angry. I don't want to get furious at the left. I don't want to get angry. These pathetic wretches of fake journalists out there. Yeah, I don't sound furious or angry. I'm not going to get furious or angry. Why should I? They're just making bigger schmucks of themselves than they already are. I think I figured out why the shooter went crazy. It was from watching MSNBC, in my opinion. See, if you watch Chris Matthews and the other losers who should never have been allowed on the television long enough, you start to think that there's some reason for doing a thing like this. Now, you know, of course, I made that up out of sarcasm. But that's the exact equivalent of what they're saying about people like me. Now, the reason that he did this is, A, he's unstable, B, he had bad parents, is my guess, and C, he smoked too much marijuana. That, of course, is a fact of reality. Do you know what chemicals are found in marijuana smoke? You idiots, you potheads, you liar. You know, see, you don't understand something about marijuana. It's the most dangerous of all drugs because it is an entry-level drug. It's what brings your children into the world of harder drugs. But unto itself, this kid, by the way, was allegedly a daily heavy pot smoker, and he became psychotic because he was unstable, and the marijuana triggered the psychosis. Now, I realize that the psychosis brought him up to the level of being interviewed for MSNBC, but they haven't found him yet. I suppose that once he's freed from jail, they could give him a shot on the Chris Matthews show as a fill-in. Chemicals found in marijuana smoke, Chris. This may be of some interest to Chris Matthews and Joe Scarborough and Olbermann from a scientific point of view. Many of these people are science illiterates because they never took a science course past the seventh grade. And so they read the lies and they say, oh, marijuana is good for you. It's got medical properties. But they don't realize, because they're ignoramuses when it comes to the basics of H2O, that ammonia is found in mainstream marijuana smoke at levels up to 20-fold greater than that found in tobacco. Hydrogen cyanide and some aromatic amines were found in marijuana smoke at concentrations 3 to 5 times greater than those found in tobacco smoke. And Chris, you should understand, and I know you yourself probably don't use marijuana because you don't need it, frankly. A man like you is so stable that you wouldn't need marijuana, particularly with your sanity is so strong. You don't realize that the mercury alone found in marijuana could affect some of your thinking if you used it. Not you, of course. We're speaking generically here. You don't realize that mercury, cadmium, lead, chromium, nickel, arsenic, selenium, benzoate, chrysines, and benzoate-fluoroanthines, and benzoate-fluoroanthines, and benzoepyrenes, and benzoapyrenes. And I'm just giving you chemical names because I want to show you how dumb you are. You don't realize that naphthalene, fluorine, and these other very, very dangerous chemicals are found in marijuana smoke. So the marijuana smoke is highly toxic, Joe, and Keith, and Chris, and what I'm trying to get at is that should be banned. Marijuana should not be legalized. In fact, right now, we shouldn't be talking about gun control. We should be talking about rolling back all laws permitting marijuana clinics and, of course, medical marijuana, which is the greatest lie in the history of science. It's almost as big a lie as global warming. There is absolutely no evidence that medical marijuana has any value whatsoever. Now, if there is a lessening of pain as a result of the tetrahydrocannabinol, you can get it from a pill. You don't need to get it from smoke because the smoke itself is toxic. It can induce lung cancer and many other problems because of these byproducts found in the marijuana smoke. And of course, I try to explain that to a man who never went past the seventh grade in science, and he goes dull because he only reads George Soros' literature on the subject. Is John Wheeler America's Dr. David Kelly? Now, here's a test for Keith, Al, Chris, and Joe. Who is John Wheeler? They don't know. So they're busy blaming conservative talkers for the shootings in Arizona, but they don't even know who John Wheeler is. They have no idea that in his final hours of his life, John Wheeler, who was found in a dumpster 10 days ago, in the final hours of his life, John Wheeler visited the 10th floor offices of the Connolly, Bove, Lodge & Hutch law firm in the Nemours building, looking to speak with the managing partner. An attorney at the firm said yesterday, the head of cybersecurity for the Air Force and former Pentagon official who was found in a dumpster, dead, was in downtown Wilmington the afternoon of December 30th looking to borrow train fare to travel north, the attorney said. Now, why would he go to this firm? We have no way to understand that. The medical examiner's office will not even release information of how he died. The FBI, Homeland Security, has no comment to be made about this this case. But if you said something that is offensive to a liberal, the black helicopters arrived from the FBI. But you can rest assured that this case is not going away. I have interesting news to report. Debka Net Weekly, which is an Israeli website, has a big issue coming out next Friday looking at the unsolved murder of former high-ranking U.S. White House official John Wheeler, especially at the suspicion that its motive may have been tied to the active interest he was showing in cyber warfare, or even Iran's reprisal for Stuxnet and its murdered nuclear scientists. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation. Be here. Savage. is Mellow Mike Savage on the Savage Nation. No anger, no rage. We don't want to upset the liberals because they may have to get a double dose of tranquilizer over the next few days while they're plotting to pass gun control laws, BlackBerry control laws, microphone control laws, keypad control laws, anything that might frighten these jumpy little guys. We don't want to frighten them. They're like little sissies in a circus. That kind of works, doesn't mean it. Is John Wheeler America's Dr. David Kelly? In its coming issue next Friday, Deb Kennett Weekly looks behind the unsolved murder of former high-ranking U.S. White House official John Wheeler, especially at the suspicion that its motive, meaning the murder, may have been tied to the active interest he was showing in cyber warfare or even Iran's reprisal for Stuxnet and its murdered nuclear scientists. The Wheeler death brings to mind, they say, the case of the British biological warfare expert Dr. David Kelly, who died in the UK in 2003, 5 months after the U.S.-British invasion of Iraq. Both cases remain open. But, of course, if you utter a certain kind of phobic phrase, you'll be investigated by 500 FBI agents. This case remains open, of course. I was on the airplane over the... Oh, we still have the contest. I'm going to get to this shortly, why Chinese mothers are superior. Can a regimen of no play dates, no TV, no computer games, and hours of music practice create happy kids? And what happens when they fight back? Amy Chua wrote this article. She's a brilliant woman. She is a Yale law professor and, of course, a mother of Chinese descent. No sleepovers, no play dates. Children can't be in a school play. They cannot watch TV or play computer games. They cannot choose their own extracurricular activities. They cannot get any grade less than an A. They cannot play any instrument other than the piano or violin. I suppose that Big Sis will arrest her for child abuse if she reads the article.
Savage.
Hello, boys and girls. Welcome to the early radio show of the evening. It is the early show, the Savage Nation. And we've toned it down. We want to make certain that the liberal ninnies don't get too excited. We don't want to have them double up on their medication. So we're going to talk in quiet tones as though they're sissies or puppies. Basically, we don't want to frighten them any more than they've already been frightened. Everyone's so frightened in America now. Yes, a nation of frightened little ninnies. In fact, they're so frightened that Fox News itself put out a lie today that was picked up by the New York Times, Politico, and all of the other unreliable sources of propaganda in America. Did you hear this one? Oh, you didn't hear about it. Fox News ran with a story today saying that Loeffner, the shooter, was tied into a white nationalist group. Okay, Fox News starts it. It's immediately picked up by who? You're not going to believe this. You ready for this? Fox News reports it, and it's picked up by Politico, the New York Times, and, of course, the Associated Propagandists, AP, following Fox, citing the network or local authorities as sources, saying that the shooter was a member of an American nationalist group. Jared Loeffner's supremacist tie debunked. I'll read you the story. It's on michaelsavage.com. It's the top story on the right. Read it yourself. I don't have the time to read you the whole thing. An Arizona law enforcement agency is backing away from a document it produced in the aftermath of Saturday shootings in Tucson, and which was leaked to Fox News, a very reliable source, that linked the man accused with carrying out the crimes to a white nationalist publication. After Fox News began citing the document in its broadcasts, initially describing it as a memo from the Department of Homeland Security, the story, which was a lie, was picked up by other media, which suggested that the federal government was looking at the role of the publication American Renaissance in motivating the shootings. David Denlinger, commander of the Arizona Counterterrorism Information Center, acknowledged that the document came from his agency. Okay? This is right out of the Soviet Union, by the way. In a sane democracy, David Denlinger would be arrested, by the way, for disseminating this kind of hatred after a shooting like this. He'd be arrested for this crime of disseminating misinformation. Okay? He said, but it contained errors and overstated the link between Jared Loeffner, the 22-year-old pothead loser, loner, charged with shooting Rep. Gabrielle Giffords and others outside a Tucson supermarket and the publication American Renaissance. All ready for this? Dellinger, an Arizona State Police major who should be stripped of his pension if this is true, told Politico today, I do have no reason, listen, I do have no reason, not I have no reason, I do have no reason to believe in anything that we did, that Lofner had any direct connection or was being directed by American Renaissance. Listen to this. I want to read you this again. Dellinger, an Arizona State Police major, said this. I do have no reason to believe in anything that we did, that Lofner had any direct connection or was being directed by American Renaissance. This is who's in the police departments now in Arizona. Dellinger, the disinformation specialist, in my opinion, said this. He said the document was never intended for public dissemination. It also was not, it was not also a police report or even a record that is in our system. It was simply two people that put a quick summary together for their bosses in terms of, here are some of the things that are being looked at right now. Jared Taylor, American Renaissance's founder and editor, denied any connection with Lofner when contacted by Fox News reporter James Rosen on Sunday. Rosen read his denial on the air, including an assertion that the document was complete nonsense. He said, I have absolutely no idea what DHS is talking about. Look, anything that comes from Janet Sterno, Janet Sterno's descendant here, is certainly unreliable. A spokesmouth for a fixed news network did not respond to questions about Fox's reporting on the fake document, though Rosen, in a Monday on-air segment, reported that subsequent law enforcement memos didn't mention American Renaissance. Of course, but the damage had been done already by the Fixed News Corporation. The magazine and New Century Foundation advocate a strain of white separatism that holds that many of America's socialists are due to racial diversity, forced integration, and waves of minority immigration. Well, they're entitled to their opinion. But the fact of the matter is they didn't say any of these things. It was made up in whole by this dumb moron in the Arizona Sheriff's Department. But Politico, the New York Times, and the Associated Press followed Fox News and its dissemination of this lie, either citing the Fixed News Network or so-called local authorities as sources. And Dellinger said he planned to call Taylor Tuesday to explain how his group was implicated. Now listen to this, it gets even better. The document, which was made up, by the way, which Dellinger, the cop, described as an email, quote, one of the detectives in the center authored to his supervisor just simply mentioning the brainstorming. This guy is some putz, he can't even compose an English sentence. One of the detectives in the center authored to his supervisor just simply mentioning the brainstorming just shows you what affirmative action has done to the police departments. Asserted that there is strong suspicion of a connection between Lofner and American Renaissance. Well, read it for yourself. Read it for yourself. But don't get angry, because if you get angry, your neighbor might report you and the Department of Homeland Security might investigate you for getting angry over the disinformation of the Soviet-style disinformation campaign that was taken hold by Fixed News Network. What a democracy we're living in. Look how we're losing it by the day. Every day it gets worse by the second. By the second it gets worse. Fox News puts out a DHS memo that was completely made up. All the little boys and girls with nice ties and suits. What a shame. You know, actually, I'm actually glad that I'm blacklisted from Fox News. I'm proud that I'm blacklisted. I actually realized that it was God's hand blacklisting me from Fox News. Because if I was not blacklisted from Fox News, I wouldn't have just read you that story, probably, out of fear that the leprechaun would have heard it and demanded that Roger Ailes make sure I never appear on the network again. But since I don't appear on it because I'm blacklisted, as in the Soviet days, I'm proud to read the story to you. You know, there's a benefit to being blacklisted by the American media, which means you have basically free rein to say anything that's true. You understand that everything is about trading things off and favors. I mean, you have to understand that even good people in the media, and there are very good people in the media who are conservative and they're real conservatives, they all have their own self-interest at heart, as we all do. And they have to watch what they say about certain powerful outlets or certain powerful people if they want to maintain access to those people or those outlets. So they would never, ever, ever publish the story that I just read to you. And that's, of course, that explains the success in part of the Savage Nation, is that I'm free to tell you that what I think is going on here. Could you believe Fox News would take something made up by a low-life backwoods sheriff from Arizona that is then put out by the liars in the Department of Homeland Security, connecting the shooter up with an American supremacist, separatist group, a white separatist group, and then publish it as truth? Can you believe what's going on in this country? So there it is. But let's not get angry. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I really did intend to talk about something mildly interesting to me today, and that would be the chemicals found in marijuana smoke, so that you understood that the shooter was a big pothead and that pot should be absolutely turned into a felony in the United States of America all over again. That marijuana is the most dangerous of all drugs because it is seen to be benign as a result of a massive propaganda campaign started by George Soros' foundations about 10 years ago when they tried to legalize marijuana for medical use in Arizona and California. I know this story very well. They spent $1 million a year at the time in Arizona and California, to the best of my recollection, trying to make you think marijuana was safe and good for various illnesses and things of that nature and should be legalized. The opposite is true. Not only is marijuana smoke more toxic than cigarette smoke, in many ways, by the way, but tetrahydrocannabinol can induce psychosis in sensitive individuals, as it apparently did with the shooter in Arizona. So instead of having a rational discussion about banning marijuana again, making it into a major league felony, like a Class A drug on the order of heroin, which we should be talking about all over again, instead we're talking about banning talk radio, banning bullets, banning guns, banning clips, all by the nervous ninnies, the sissies in a circus, as such, as I described before. 1-800-449-825. Sheriff Dupnik is a dead ringer for a certain unknown talk show host who has three affiliates. I looked at the picture of Arizona Sheriff Dupnik, and I looked at it, I kept saying, he looks like an old relative of mine, God rest his soul. But I said, no, that's not who he reminds me of. He reminds me of a certain talk show host who has three affiliates and two Dixie cups and a string. I couldn't figure out who it was, and then it dawned on me. New York City, Ruth, who does Sheriff Dupnik remind you of?
Oh, I was going to say Bill O'Reilly.
Did you actually see the picture of Dupnik?
Yes, the ugliest.
No, he doesn't look like O'Reilly. O'Reilly's a very handsome devil.
Oh, I think it's O'Reilly.
No, O'Reilly's a very, very handsome guy. If O'Reilly wasn't in talk radio, he isn't in talk radio, he failed in talk radio. If O'Reilly wasn't on Fox News and didn't have a TV show, what do you think he'd be doing?
I wish he'd take
He'd be a gym, he would have been a gym teacher, probably a very good one, too.
Would he take me out for a corned beef sandwich?
No, he would have been a good gym teacher. All right, guys, put the basketballs away, already? Thank you for the call. Anyway, let's stop with who they look like. He looks like Michael Reagan, a twin for Michael Reagan. Amazing, a shocker. So Obama and Janet Napolitano are going to go to the funerals in Arizona. No, there's no grandstanding involved there, not at all. They have nothing to say about Wheeler's body in a dumpster, a man involved with cybersecurity, but they're going to be there. It's right out of Animal Farm. But let's be careful after the shooting. We have to watch our rhetoric. We have to be very careful what we say. We certainly don't want to go with bullhorns and Harlem outside Freddy's Fashion Mart and scream, burn, baby, burn. What we want to do is get a haircut, lose weight, and go on Bill O'Reilly's show and pretend that we're legitimate now and then call for others to be reined in. Lawmakers debate whether more security is the answer. Clinton says be careful after the shooting. He's right. Be very careful. I tell you this, it is going to change a lot in America. There's no question about it. I'm going to tell you how it's going to change things. I, for one, remember I made an announcement last week that I was going to suddenly do public appearances after years of not doing them? Do you know that the last public appearance Michael Savage did was about 4 or 5 years ago, and I sold out the Concord Pavilion. I don't know what it's called, the Chronicle Pavilion at the time? Yeah, Chronicle Pavilion. It used to be called the Concord Pavilion. We had 7,000 paying guests. I outdrew the rock and roll girl, whatever her name is, Sheryl Crow or something. I had more people than her. I drew the caddy on stage. It was a wonderful night. It really was. Teddy was a baby at the time, so it was 5 years ago. We had just gotten him. He was still black. His fur was black. It's silver now. He was on stage with me. I did a wonderful performance. but I've never done another public appearance because of security concerns. After I was banned in England, I decided never to do another public performance because of the hate put out by England about me, because of the hate disseminated by Media Matters about me, because of the hate disseminated by the vermin on the left about Michael Savage, because of the hate put out about me by the vermin on the left. I have not appeared in a public speech since then. So I said, all right, well, look, it's time. It's 2011. My book was a huge hit, Trickle Up Poverty. I said, I'm going to start do some lectures. So I swear to God, my agent got me a lecture agent who really wants me to do them. I don't think I'm going to do any public appearances because of the hate that's coming out of the mouths of people on MSNBC and other places. I believe that the hateful rhetoric coming out of the mouths of people like Chris Matthews could have a violent left-winger attack me, and I don't really want to have bodyguards protect me in that manner. So because of the hate coming from MSNBC and other quarters, I think that I'm going to hold back on public appearances. And I'm going to tell you something else. There are people on the conservative side who are going to think very carefully about doing book signings after this because of the hate coming out of the mouths of people like Chris Matthews. Because of the hate coming out of the mouths of people like Chris Matthews and others on MSNBC, I believe that there are people who shouldn't do book signings in the next few months. I think they should be very careful. I can name several people who do a lot of book signings who should be very careful because of the lies being said about them by people on the left, like Chris Matthews. And I think that they should be very, very cautious about appearing in public as a result of the lies being disseminated by Chris Matthews and others. That's my own personal opinion. I'm not saying he would want people to attack conservatives, but I'm saying his dangerous rhetoric could take an imbalanced listener to MSNBC and put him over the edge. There must be millions of imbalanced listeners to MSNBC who smoke pot while watching Chris Matthews and the urinator. I don't know, remember his name. What's this, the big guy who they have to clean mop up after him? When you get people like that, imbalanced broadcasters, who put out such hatred, and they attack Michael Savage and people on the right saying that we did it as the reason for the shooting, you realize that they could incite some imbalanced left-wingers who are potheads to go out and shoot us. The violence coming out of the mouths of MSNBC star Matthews is so dangerous that I think the government should investigate him. I am hereby calling for a governmental investigation of Chris Matthews for disseminating hatred against myself and others on the conservative side. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I smoke two joints in the morning. I smoke two joints at night. I smoke two joints in the afternoon. It makes me feel alright.
This song is dedicated to all the listeners of MSNBC. All the peaceful, loving potheads who want to ban conservative talk radio. But we learned today that a radical leftist punk band inspired the accused gunman. You didn't know that. A radical leftist punk band inspired the accused gunman. It's on WorldNet Daily. Read it if you wish. If you want to keep your head in the sand, as they say, or I don't want to say where your head really is because it's a family show. Las Vegas, Ray, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Yeah, I know. I just want to comment on the rhetoric that you keep talking about the shooter being a pothead. I myself am there. I'm in the medical marijuana community, and I'm a conservative myself.
Oh, that's so touching.
Contributing.
That is so touching. You're a real contributing member of society. What do you mean the medical marijuana community? What kind of community is that?
Believe it or not, it's a community. You want to know who's in this community?
What do you mean a community? What do you mean by a medical marijuana community? You're a bunch of potheads. You're drug addicts. That's all you are. What do you mean medical marijuana community? Why do you have to lie about your weakness?
I see these people every day.
Why do you have to lie about your weakness? You're a drug addict.
I don't smoke pot, Michael.
We just said you're a member of the medical marijuana community. What does that mean?
I help these people achieve what the rights that they should.
Oh, in other words, you're a drug dealer. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I thought you were a drug user.
No, I am not a drug user.
You're a drug dealer. I understand. Never use your product. I get it.
I don't use it. No, I don't. I don't have a medical necessity for it.
No, but you sell it, though, right?
No, I do not sell it. I help people get legal.
Oh, so you're a doctor who writes fake prescriptions?
I help people obtain the right to use marijuana.
Ray, can I ask you something? Because you're trying to have a rational conversation, and we're just having fun so far. You don't use it. okay? You don't prescribe it. What do? If you're a member of the medical marijuana community,
I consult with people who want to.
But what do you mean by consult? Are you a doctor or not?
You just keep talking over me.
Well, you're not answering any questions. Don't play games with me. Are you a doctor or not?
This is the problem. You have a hard head. If you would just listen for a second.
No, I'm not going to listen. I'm not a pothead in your clinic. Don't try to roll me over. You won't answer a question. You think that you're talking to another doper here. You don't use the stuff. You don't sell the stuff, so you must be a doctor. Is that correct?
No, I am not a doctor. I am a consultant who helps people.
What the hell does a consultant mean? What does that mean?
I'm trying to tell you, if you just be quiet.
You're not a consultant. You're a drug peddler.
Obtain a medical.
And you know and I know that it's the tetrahydrocannabinol that reduces the nausea associated with certain chemotherapeutic drugs. It has nothing to do with the marijuana smoke. So why do you continue to lie to people and tell them they need marijuana? They don't need marijuana. They need tetrahydrocannabinol.
See, Michael, you're asking a question.
You don't even know what you're talking about. I'm trained in this field. You're not. You have no background in the field. What's your scientific credential in this field?
My credential is...
You grew up reading High Times, is that it?
You ask a question.
You're an expert in High Times. You earned a PhD by reading High Times in the toilet. Is that your credential?
No.
You're a drug addict and a drug dealer. And if it was up to me, if I had the power, I'd close down every medical marijuana clinic in the country and I'd seize your assets.
Watch your speed. Trouble ahead.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The reason we're playing Bob Dylan is because this violence-inducing music, I think, should be banned. I personally think that any song that encourages the youth of America to use the dangerous psychosis-inducing marijuana should be immediately be banned, and I think that the songsters should be investigated by the Department of Homeland Security. I personally don't want to see it happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if Janet Napolitano doesn't investigate Bob Dylan and the others who sang songs like this for so many years, encouraging people like Loeffner to think that marijuana was a harmless substance, when in fact it's a psychosis-inducing substance in the mentally imbalanced. And that's why I'm saying, instead of talking about banning talk radio or banning the internet or banning violent rhetoric, we have to consider banning marijuana, because marijuana is exactly what the FBI said it was in the 1930s. It is a deadly, dangerous, psychosis-inducing drug, certainly not in all people, but in a certain segment of the society that is already mentally unstable. Marijuana, especially the marijuana of today, which is not your mother's or your grandmother's marijuana, it's about 7 to 10 times more powerful, can induce an LSD-like reaction and overt psychosis in many individuals. This is well established in the medical literature. It's not simply rhetoric. Now, in the last hour, when I brought this up about the shooter in Arizona being a pothead, right away it happened. Potheads in the pot industry got involved, started calling, and some guy called and said that he's a pot consultant. He's a member of the medical marijuana community, he said. In other words, he's a pot consultant, which is apparently a new green job category that's funded by your tax dollars at work through the American Recovery and whatever they call it. Just as roads are being built with stimulus funds going only to contractors related to certain senators and congressmen, apparently green jobs are going to people, too, in the pot business now. So we could talk about that if you like, or if you wish, or why Chinese mothers are superior. I have to go back to that. Because we have a nation of children who have completely gone off the rails as a result of bad parenting. And this article struck me as I was, I read it in the Wall Street Journal review, Why Chinese Mothers Are Superior. Can a regimen of no play dates, no TV, no computer games, and hours of music practice create happy kids? And what happens when they fight back? And it's written by a brilliant, beautiful woman, Amy Chua, with her daughters Louise and Sophie at their home in New Haven, Connecticut. She's a Yale professor of law and a mother. And she raises the children in a very, very strict manner that perhaps in this society would be considered bordering on child abuse when you consider the kind of loser mentality that we have for parents today. The Dr. Spock method of child rearing has produced people like Chris Matthews, for example, people without any mental discipline whatsoever. It's that kind of Dr. Spock child rearing that produces people on the order of Olbermann, Matthews. No intellect, no control over what they say. Things come out of their mouths that are not controlled, again, as a result of a lack of discipline. So you ask, how could a guy like Chris Matthews end up on television? The answer is because the same type of mentality runs the network. The same type of people are at General Electric and NBC, probably raised by mothers who made them go to sleepovers, made them act in school plays, told them to be in the arts instead of to be in sciences, told them don't worry if you can't do math, it shows that you're creative, probably told them to choose their own extracurricular activities, probably said don't worry if you get D's and F's, you'll discover yourself later in life, don't worry about academic subjects, you're probably too intelligent for them, we want you to specialize in drama and gym, certainly don't play any instruments other than the bongo drums. See, this is the opposite of, according to this woman, a Chinese mother would do the opposite. And so they use very, very strict upbringing, this woman does. And she says, I got to read this. For example, my Western friends who consider themselves strict make their children practice their instruments 30 minutes every day, an hour at most. For a Chinese mother, the first hour is the easy part. It's hours 2 and 3 to get tough. You hear this? Do you believe this? And she's comparing Western American mothers and Chinese immigrant mothers. And the American mothers, I can't read you the whole article. You get the picture. I'm giving you the rough. She's very strict, and the children cry. They have tears. They break down. They fight with the mother. And she stays there fighting with them. And I'm going to read you some stuff because you're not going to believe it. She says, as an adult, I once did the same thing to Sophia. What does she mean by that? Chinese parents can get away with things that Western parents can't, she writes. Once when I was young, maybe more than once, when I was extremely disrespectful to my mother, my father angrily called me garbage in our native Hokkien dialect. It worked really well. I felt terrible and deeply ashamed of what I had done, she writes, but it didn't damage my self-esteem or anything like that. I knew exactly how highly he thought of me. I didn't actually think I was worthless or feel like a piece of garbage, she writes. Then she goes on and says, as an adult, I once did the same thing to Sophia, calling her garbage in English when she acted extremely disrespectfully towards me. When I mentioned that I had done this at a dinner party, I was immediately ostracized. One guest named Marcy got so upset she broke down in tears and had to leave early. My friend Susan, the host, tried to rehabilitate me with the remaining guests. The fact is that Chinese parents can do things that would seem unimaginable, even legally actionable. Attention potheads, and children of potheads. Legally actionable to Westerners, period. Chinese mothers can say to their daughters, for example, hey, fatty, lose some weight. Hey, fatty, lose some weight, they can say to a daughter who's a fat slob. By contrast, Western parents have to tiptoe around the issue talking in terms of health, and never ever mentioning the F word, meaning fatty. And their kids still end up in therapy for eating disorders and negative self-image. Blah, blah, blah. Chinese parents can order their kids to get straight A's. Western parents can only ask their kids to try their best. Chinese parents can say you're lazy, all your classmates are getting ahead of you. By contrast, she writes, Western parents have to struggle with their own conflicted feelings about achievement and try to persuade themselves that they're not disappointed about how their kids turn out. So I'm reading from an article by a Chinese-American woman, Amy Chua, C-H-U-A. The title of the article is Why Chinese Mothers Are Superior. And the reason it attracted me is because I was raised very much like this. And I didn't have a Chinese mother or father. But I was raised in that manner. It says, for example, if a child comes home with an A-minus on a test, a Western parent will most likely praise the child. The Chinese mother will gasp in horror and ask what went wrong. Why did you only get an A-minus? If the child comes home with a B on the test, some Western parents will still praise the child. Other Western parents will sit their child down and express disapproval. But they will be careful not to make their child feel inadequate or insecure. And they will never call their child stupid, worthless, or a disgrace. Now, let me pause right here. When I was interviewed by the writer for the New Yorker, one of the key things he noted was how I was raised, because I was raised by a tough immigrant father from Russia, and I was raised very much like this. Ridicule. I said I was raised in a typical European manner of that time, which was with scorn and ridicule and derision. Scorn, ridicule, and derision is explaining exactly how I got where I am today. Now, I have a native intelligence. I'm lucky about that. I inherited it from my parents. I made mistakes along the way. I still make mistakes every day. I try not to. I'm only human. I made some very serious mistakes along the way. I used marijuana in college. It slowed me down. My grades went backwards. Marijuana is the most dangerous drug in history. Because I would never have used hard drugs. I knew the dangers of heroin. I knew schmucks who went into that. I met kids along the way who snorted it and said it's safe to snort. I never did that. Because I knew that those drugs were dangerous. But marijuana, it's harmless. It is not harmless. Very dangerous. It set me back academically. But in spite of the mistakes I made, because I was raised in the old European fashion, with scorn and ridicule, derision, calling me names, look how far I've come in life. And what I'm trying to tell you here is that Loeffner, the shooter in Arizona, was raised, no doubt, by very liberal parents, pothead himself, liberal pothead society around him, skulls in the backyard, a devil worshiper. Everything that liberals believe is okay as long as you express yourself explains why he went on this shooting rampage. It had nothing to do with talk radio. The fact of the matter is it's got strictly to do with the use of marijuana, number one, and liberalism as a child-rearing tool, in my opinion. You can't legislate against liberalism. You can't legislate against stupidity. You can't make it illegal to be an idiot, can you? So that's why I'm reading Why Chinese Mothers Are Superior to You. I'm trying to get you to understand that you've got to stop coddling your child. Call your child a fatty if he's fat and won't lose weight. Tell her she looks disgusting and no one will ever marry her if she's a slob. So what if she cries? Stop with the self-esteem. That's a product of idiocy put out by the government and whack jobs in the psychological world. It's good because that's what makes them secure, is they'll overcome it. So I'm going to read you more from the article. It's about her and her children. I don't know, blah, blah, blah. Well, you want me to read any more? Chinese parents demand perfect grades because they believe that their child can get them. If their child doesn't get them, the Chinese parent assumes it's because the child didn't work hard enough. That's why the solution to substandard performance, she writes, is always to excoriate, punish, and shame the child. Man! Who is this woman? I like her. That's why the solution to substandard performance is always to excoriate, punish, and shame the child. The Chinese parent believes that their child will be strong enough to take the shaming and to improve from it. And when Chinese kids do excel, there is plenty of ego-inflating parental praise lavished in the privacy of the home. So in other words, in our society, you ever see kids on the ball field? They miss the ball. The father says, good job, Johnny. I sometimes go past a little league field. I feel like crying. The kid swings like Arnold Stang or like a loser. The bat doesn't even come anywhere near the ball. Good job. Whatever the kid does, good job. So the kid doesn't know what a good job is. So the kid comes home with a D. Great try, Nancy. That's okay. Don't feel bad. Let's go out for an ice cream cone because Michelle Obama says ice cream is good for you. Now, don't you understand what we're talking about here? This is a woman who's a professor at Yale, a law professor. And a tough parent. And here she is, a picture of her daughter Sophia playing at Carnegie Hall in 2007. And here she is making her other daughter play the violin. She looks good in a short skirt too, by the way. Let's see what else we have in the article here. Well, anyway, you get the drift of it, right? Her husband, by the way, is a little softer than her. Her husband, Jed, has the opposite view. He says, children don't choose their parents, he once said to me. They don't even choose to be born. It's parents who force life on the kids, the husband says. So it's the parents' responsibility to provide for them. Kids don't owe their parents anything, said the husband. Their duty will be to their own kids. She says, this strikes me as a terrible deal for the Western parent. Now, do you realize that this country's children are like number 35 in reading, in mathematics, and in scientific literacy? Do you know that Shanghai is number one in most of these fields? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? With all of the waste of money on psychobabble and, what do they call it? Making a kid feel good. What's that called? Self-esteem lessons. You know what I'm saying? Oh, don't feel bad just because you can't dribble the ball. We'll make you the captain of the team. Even though you can't dribble the ball, make you captain of the basketball team because we don't want to hurt your self-esteem. It's all rubbish. Well, how about the lying, thieving parents, the child who can read forwards? You understand what I'm saying to you? Now you understand why we're number 35 in mathematics, science, and reading? Now, this woman could run the country. The article is entitled, Why Chinese Mothers Are Superior. If you don't like what I've just said to you, send her a letter or an email. Don't send it to me. I'm Michael Savage. I hope I haven't hurt your feelings. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. I'm not sleepy, and there is no place I'm going to. Hey,
this segment of the show is brought to you by Hot Consultants in the United States. It's a new category, a new job category with the American Recovery Act funding, that stimulus money. Apparently, Nancy Pelosi has created so many new jobs that a new green job category will likely result, known as Pot Consultant in San Francisco. And the reason that we're doing this is because of the terrible tragedy in Arizona where the pothead went crazy and he was already imbalanced and a lunatic, and it threw him over the edge. And that's why I'm saying marijuana should be totally banned. Instead of legalizing it even further, it should be cracked down on, turned into a Class A drug felony. Rick in Florida, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. I respect you very much, but I have to disagree with you. I think that saying this guy did what he did because he smoked a joint before he went out there because he had a habit of smoking weed, I think that's just as bad as saying, as blaming the Republicans or the conservatives or pointing the finger at Sarah Palin.
Well, now you finally figured out the show. You figured it out perfectly. You just got an A in understanding the show.
Well, so then is your stance then that pot is that bad and it caused him to...
Well, I personally don't like marijuana, and I personally think it's dangerous, but I don't think that it should be criminalized to the extent I said it, but I was trying to make a point that I think you finally got. I had to do it in the most dramatic way, but you got the point.
Well, you had me, my ruffles all feathered. I agree with you most of the time. I respect you because you're a very...
Did you say I have your ruffles all feathered?
My feathers, I'm sorry.
You said that I have your ruffles all feathered, and that's a result of your smoking marijuana, so I take it back. Yes, it should be outlawed.
Well, excuse me.
I have your feathers, your ruffles all feathered. That's really good. How far, how did you do in school, my friend? Well, if the teacher was also a pothead, you probably got an A on that one. She wouldn't have even known the difference. I have my ruffles all feathered. That's a good one. That's really great. Play Jumpin' with My Boy Mike in the Country, will you please? Jumpin' with My Boy Mike in the Nation. Nation. Jumpin' with My Boy Mike in the Nation. Jumpin' with My Boy Mike in the Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I hope I have not feathered your ruffles if you've been listening to the show. We were talking about the dangers of marijuana and how it impacted the shooter in Arizona. There's no question about it. He was a mentally unstable individual by all accounts, and marijuana threw him over the edge. And I was saying that before you join the bandwagon of the Soros-funded losers who say that medical marijuana is beneficial and it should be legalized and there should be no crime, blah, blah, blah. Be very careful. Be very, very careful indeed, because marijuana can induce psychosis in sensitive individuals. And I don't know what the percentage of smokers are who are that sensitive, but they're quite a few. And many of them are calling the show now and trying to convince me that I'm wrong. In fact, the gentleman called in the last hour who had me fooled for a minute. And then at the end, he said, you have feathered my ruffles. And then I realized when he said, you have feathered my ruffles, that I was right all along. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Albany, New York. Robert, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael Savage, it's nice to talk to you. I've been a longtime listener since I was about the age 13 with my father. Unfortunately, this is the first time I've ever actually disagreed with you. Marijuana absolutely would not cause anybody to ever harm someone. That is definitely a fact.
Wait a minute. Wait, when you say it's definitely a fact, what's your evidence?
It's just there's zero deaths that are caused in America by marijuana.
Wait a minute. You just said it's definitely a fact. It's a fact proven by what evidence?
By marijuana. How could you possibly ban...
Wait a minute. Marijuana is an individual who has assembled facts about itself?
Excuse me?
You know what I just said. You said it's definitely a fact that marijuana has never induced violence in anyone.
That is correct.
Well, you're wrong. You don't know history, Robert. You know nothing about the history of the word itself.
Explain to me how it has caused violence in America.
Well, let me go back and give you a little history about hashish. Will that help you?
Yeah, I would really be interested.
All right. We're going to have a rational conversation as though I'm a professor and you're a student, without any rancor, without any derision, because I'm not a Chinese father, okay?
Yep.
That's a joke. You heard the story about the superior Chinese mothers, right?
Yeah, I've been listening to you.
How were you raised, by the way, Robert? Strict or in a liberal manner? Strictly or in a liberal manner?
I was raised in a conservative family, very military-based.
And did your father approve of you becoming a pothead?
I'm not a pothead, sir. I'm a past user. I'm 19 years old now. Back in my younger teen days, I did use marijuana.
Well, of course. I'm not saying it's a moral defect. Don't get me wrong. It's a medical danger is what I'm saying. I didn't say it's a moral defect. I don't really have a big thing about people's actions other than hurting others or hurting children. I'm a sexual libertarian, and so I don't think there's any moral deficit about smoking pot. To me, it's a medical thing that I'm talking about. Well, let me give you some facts that most people don't know, and I'm going to read it to you. The assassins comes from the Arabic, hashashin or hashishin, okay? Assassins are related to the Arabic word hashashin, and they were an order of Arabs in Syria and Persia that existed 1,000 years ago, and they posed a strong military threat to the Sunni authority within the Persian territories. And these people, the Nizari Ismailis, captured and inhabited many mountain fortresses at the time. The name assassins was originally derogatory and used by their adversaries during the Middle Ages. The modern word assassin is derived from its name. And you go down the list, right? Here it comes. The term hashish, connoting meanings such as outcast or rabble. Various Orientalist scholars believed that these individuals consumed hashish before carrying out political killings. It is well established that many acts of violence are preceded by the individual smoking marijuana. I don't know how you could say it's never happened. It's well known to be a fact. Ask any detective if it's not related to violence.
These days that are violent cases caused by marijuana use.
I don't know what you just said. Say it again.
America does not have problem with violence and marijuana. Those were back in
those. Wait, hold on. Wait a minute. Has no problem with it? How about what just happened in Arizona? He was a known pothead.
Yeah, he was psychologically messed up from birth, apparently. He's a serial killer. That's apparently
Now you're jumping to conclusions. You have no evidence that he's a serial killer. He went on a rampage after smoking marijuana. So therefore, you have to look at what marijuana may have done to this unstable mind.
Marijuana does not make anyone's mind unstable. It actually relaxes the mind.
You're 100%. Look, you don't have the background to even have this discussion, so it's difficult to have the discussion. If you had studied the medical literature, perhaps you could have a discussion. The medical literature supports what I'm saying. You're just making statements that are opinion. They're not facts.
Well, then why does America hand out marijuana as a medical medicine?
Because that's what I'm trying to tell you. Because they've been brainwashed by George Soros' front groups and special interests that are making a fortune with medical marijuana and the big lie of medical marijuana clinics.
That's That's
you know, it's like Indian gambling casinos. Do you think Indian gambling casinos should not be paying taxes, federal taxes?
I think they shouldn't. It's their land.
They shouldn't? Are you kidding me? You don't think that Indian gambling casinos should be paying taxes on those billions of dollars that are being made every month?
You're not mistaken.
Robert, look, I don't really know where you're coming from, but you really don't know what you're talking about. You're not a conservative. I don't know what you are, but it's sad to listen to you because you're not thinking. You're making statements that are so broadly general without any factual basis that it's very difficult to have a rational discussion with you, Robert. Marijuana can induce psychosis in individuals who are susceptible to marijuana who are already mentally unstable. Does that make sense to you?
It's from.
Excuse me?
This is like a lame attack on marijuana. I have no
Robert,
idea.
Robert, I have a PhD in a field. I've studied these things most of my adult life. You have not. You don't have a field in medical sciences, do you?
Brilliant gentleman.
Robert, what did you study in college? What was your field?
I'm in college right now for aviation technology.
All right. Well, you'll be a good mechanic one day. I just hope that you don't use marijuana while you're fixing a jet engine. Jay in Fort Lauderdale, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I'm calling about my mother.
Go ahead. Love to hear it.
She was Chinese, and I don't know, probably 10, 11, 12 years of age. I brought home a report card, a couple of A's, mostly B's, and a C.
Right.
And she looked at me, and she said, I'm half Chinese. My dad was in the military, so I'm half Chinese. And she said, why can't you get straight A's like all the other Chinese kids?
And wait, okay, this is good. This goes back to the article, Why Chinese Mothers Are Superior. And so she was very much like this woman, correct?
Correct. And it was a brutal dealing with her growing up. But it's not just Chinese. It's Koreans and several, you know, all the Asian population. It's just brutal. And they have a high level of expectation. And you know what's interesting that I learned? And my son Winston is picking this up, is that children rise to the level of the expectations put upon them.
Yes, well, that's what she's saying in her article, in her book. Listen to this. A lot of people wonder how Chinese parents raise such stereotypically successful kids. They wonder what these parents do to produce so many math whizzes and music prodigies, what it's like inside the family, and whether they could do it too. Well, she says, I can tell them because I've done it. And she said, here's how I've done it with my daughters. Okay, the children were never allowed to attend a sleepover, have a play date, be in a school play, complain about not being in a school play. They were never allowed to watch TV or play computer games. They were never allowed to choose their own extracurricular activities. They were never allowed to get any grade less than an A, et cetera, and so on. See, now, if you look at the talk show hosts on MSNBC, you know that they were told to and encouraged to go to sleepovers. You know that a guy like Chris Matthews was no doubt encouraged by both his mother and his father to wear jammies to school and to have play dates and to be in the plays instead of taking math or science. And that's why he has no mental discipline. So, okay, aside from my sarcasm, you agree that the word Chinese mother is just simply means a demanding, strict mother, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's Asian mother. Asian mothers have a touch of crazy where they have a lot of expectations and they simply demand it and accept nothing less than the best. And if you don't deliver the best, they let you know in no uncertain terms that this is unacceptable and you will do more and better and work harder and you will succeed or you will have nothing.
Yes. Well, it's true. Now, wait. Listen to this. I'm going to read you now and everyone else the program for international student assessment tests of 15-year-olds in reading, math, and science around the world because you're not going to believe this. It was conducted in 65 economies in 2009. Shanghai, China scored at the top. Reading, Shanghai number 1, U.S. number 17. Math, Shanghai, China number 1, U.S. number 31. Science, Shanghai, China number 1, U.S. 23. Does that surprise you? I don't think so.
Not one bit. Not one bit. The Chinese and the Asian culture, the parents rule and the parents reign, and you have to listen to them, and respect is demanded and of the children. The children have no say. They do exactly what the parents tell them to do. And
right,
the
children are not raised on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. They're not into self-esteem. They call them fatty if they're fat. They tell them to shape up or ship out if they don't do their job. They don't let them go out and play at night unless they get a good test. So number one, Shanghai. Number two, South Korea. Number three, Finland. Hong Kong, Singapore, Canada, New Zealand, Japan, Australia, Netherlands. The U.S. is number 17 in reading. Can you believe this? What a country we become. In my lifetime, we've gone from being number one in everything to, God knows, not even an also-ran. Why? Because of idiotic liberalism, mainly in the homes and in the educational establishment.
Michael, the biggest difference between being raised in an Asian family and a typical American family is level of engagement. All my friends had parents who were still married and who were directly involved in their children's affairs, whether it be school, work.
Yes, but liberal mothers in New York are involved in their children's affairs as well. They try to sleep with the daughter's boyfriend.
Oh, great.
No, they're all very deeply involved in their daughter's affairs. No question about it. No, listen to this one. Listen to this. So she writes this. If a child gets a B, which would never happen, there would first be a screaming, hair-tearing explosion. The devastated Chinese mother would then get dozens, maybe hundreds of practice tests and work through them with her child for as long as it takes to get the grade up to an A. I'm sure you had the same thing, right?
Yeah, I failed multiplication tables in like third grade. I didn't do very well. For
right.
The next 3 weeks, it was like an hour a night going through multiplication tables.
I remember I had the same thing. I think it was my father once ridiculed me in the same grade, like third grade, because I couldn't do columns of three, multiplying columns of three, more than three columns of three in my head. He derided me. He called me every name under the sun. I was so humiliated that I practiced multiplication tables. I'm actually very good on mathematics in my head. I can add, subtract, this and that, multiply, long columns, and I practice this in my head. I try never to use a computer when I'm doing common mathematics in my business dealings, because I find that way I'm pretty much able to know what's going on without relying upon a machine.
Stay sharp.
Well, you know this better than I. The Chinese used an abacus for adding and subtracting in mathematics, correct?
Yes.
Now, it's interesting that the abacus was, in essence, a primitive computer, and yet it was quite tactile, number one, but it also required using the brain in the sense that a computer doesn't require using a brain. You could just put in multiply 16,952 times 12,103 without really understanding what you've just done and get an answer on your computer. I would think, though, if you used an abacus with a large multiplication, you'd still have to use some calculations in your mind. I could be mistaken because I don't know how to use an abacus.
I don't know either, but I know that if you write it out and do it, it sharpens your mind and permits you to understand it.
Exactly. I'll give you another example. When I went to high school, I remember my Uncle Murray, God rest his soul, gave me a slide rule. You know what slide rules look like, right?
Yes, I'm old enough.
Do you know that the Empire State Building, the George Washington Bridge, the Triborough Bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge were all built by engineers who used slide rules, not computers? And I will bet you that there are few engineering students today who could use a slide rule.
And did you know that the University of Maryland's engineering school was made to look like a slide rule?
Really? Wow, that's pretty amazing. Well, I think the article is amazing on Chinese mothers, and I think that we need much more discipline in plain English. And this is all related to this madman in Arizona who went crazy. He was obviously mentally unstable by all accounts, and he was a big pothead by his friends' accounts. And my main point is that marijuana is the most dangerous of all drugs for mentally unstable people. And instead of rushing headlong into the disaster of legalizing this dangerous drug, it should be, in fact, studied all over again and be seen for what it is. The children do not need yet another dangerous drug introduced into their lives. They're already drugged to death on legitimate pharmaceuticals that are poisoning their brains.
Yeah, if they got a problem, pop a pill and the kid's all better. You don't have to do any parenting.
Jay, let me send you a wonderful gift called Trickle Up Poverty, the result of very tough parenting. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Train, high cocaine, Casey Jones, you better watch your
As part of the fallout for the Arizona massacre, we're looking at what role parenting may have played and what role the marijuana usage of the shooter may have played. And then I moved into the Chinese mother situation from an article in the Wall Street Journal on the superiority of Chinese mothers and how they raise their children. And she writes, that's why Chinese daughters can't have boyfriends in high school and why Chinese kids can't go to sleepaway camp. And it's why no Chinese kid would ever dare to say to their mother, I got a part in the school play. I'm villager number six. I'll have to stay after school for rehearsal every day from 3 to 7 and also need a ride on weekends. She writes, God help any Chinese kid who tried that one. Now, if you look at people in the media, most of these people are blaming conservatives, Republicans, talk show hosts for the shooting because they have no mental discipline. In addition to being vicious little twerps, they have no mental discipline, which is why they rush to such a conclusion. And they're being laughed at across America by anyone who has the capacity for Aristotelian logic. And what I'm saying to you is guys like Chris Matthews are sad people at the end of the day. You can't even get mad at them. They're the product of bad education and bad parenting, no mental discipline whatsoever. And for those of you who say that liberal mothers are not involved in their children's affairs, that's not true. Liberal mothers are deeply involved in the affairs of their children. Why, look at the average liberal mother in San Francisco. Why, I'll bet most are having affairs with their daughter's boyfriend. And yet, on the other side of the coin, here's an email I just got from somebody I respect who said, okay, Savage, try this one on for size. How do you explain Chinese and Asian gang kids? What went wrong with their mothers? Is it the parents' fault that they wound up in gangs? She writes. And she goes on and she says, and who says that rote memorization and getting good grades is the penultimate for a child? Jumping through hoops, they may as well be trained SEALs, writes this woman. That's the other side of the coin. Well, so you see, there's more than one way to look at anything, and there's more than one way to raise a child, and somewhere in between lies the truth for everyone. I can't tell you which way that middle, the middle road is, where the middle road lies, rather, for you or your children. All I'm suggesting is that the extremes are to be avoided in child rearing, in my opinion. That would be the extremes, let's say, along the lines of what this Chinese mother is suggesting. I could never have survived, by the way. Now, I had a lot of this from my father. I didn't have it from my mother. My mother was very easygoing on me. My father would revile me if I got less than a certain grade. He gave up on me at a certain point, too. But I'm not kidding. When I said to you, I was raised on the very same techniques of ridicule. What American mother would say to a daughter that's overweight, hey, fatty, lose weight? And she says that's good for the child. Amy Schwa, Why Chinese Mothers Are Superior, says that the fact is that Chinese parents can do things that would seem unimaginable, she writes, or even legally actionable to Westerners. Chinese mothers can say to their daughters, hey, fatty, lose some weight. Now, if a mother did that today in America, I'm sure that Janet Napolitano would order an investigation and the FBI might send out some agents to their house to see if there's any conspiracy involved in abusing children. Well, that's it for now on the Savage Nation. There's another hour across most of America right here on your local affiliate. And, of course, there's always tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. Jumping with my boy, Mike, in the nation. 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 Let it roll. Let it roll. Silver Cup Red Factory. Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Today I want to talk about parenting on the Savage Nation, and it's really related to the maniac in Arizona, the shooting, the murders. Let's start with this question. What role do you think parenting had in the making of someone such as the murderer, the shooter in Arizona? I then talked about an article from that I read in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend by a woman, Why Chinese Mothers Are Superior. And she asks, can a regimen of no play dates, no TV, no computer games, and hours of music practice create happy kids? And what does she do when they fight back? You'll find out. Okay, it's amazing. She said that, here are some things my daughters Sophia and Luisa Chua never were allowed to do. They could never attend a sleepover. They could never have a play date. They could not be in a school play. They could not complain about not being in a school play. They could not watch TV or play computer games. They could not choose their own extracurricular activities. They could not get any grade less than an A. They could not be the number one student in every subject, except gym and drama. They were never allowed to play any instrument other than the piano or violin, and they could not play the piano or violin. And she said, I'm using the term Chinese mother loosely, because she said, I know some Korean, Indian, Jamaican, Irish, and Ghanaian parents who qualify too. It's a very interesting concept when you consider the kind of upbringing most American kids have with the Dr. Spock liberalism. And we see the results. You can see the results in test scores, behavior, clothing, tattoos, marijuana use. And I ask you, do you believe the American or Chinese style of parenting is more successful? Were you raised by strict parents? Did they punish you? And what effect did it have on you as an adult? Were you raised by hippie parents and never punished? And how are you today? We also talk today, we're going to talk a lot more about the Arizona shooting related to the marijuana that the shooter used. Do you believe smoking marijuana precipitated Jared Loeffner's madness? I do. Did marijuana ever bring you to the verge of madness? Racing heart, sweaty palms, paranoia? John Wheeler, you don't even know who he is. Why is the media completely ignoring the John Wheeler death, found in a trash dump, the head of cybersecurity for America? Why won't the FBI launch an investigation? There's a big study coming out on this, a big story on Friday from a Middle Eastern website. Believe me, it's going to set off shockwaves by what I hear. We learned today that John Wheeler visited the law offices of a certain lawyer hours before he died. This should be major news. Instead, it isn't. I remember being a little kid. My mother was Canadian by birth, and every time we'd go across the border in a car, I'll never forget it as long as I live, as a little boy, we'd go across the border and we brought American dollars to spend. And my father, we were poor, but okay, we did okay, small businessman. He always used to say how proud he was to spend the U.S. dollar in Canada at the time. And it made me feel, I don't know, what does a kid know? He said, oh, they love the U.S. dollar here. I didn't even know what he meant. That's because the U.S. dollar was worth more than the Canadian dollar. So if you bought something in Canada at that time, $2, and you paid for it in U.S. dollars, the guy loved taking the two U.S. dollars because he made money because the currency was worth so much more. So I felt proud to be an American. And when I looked at the money I saved from working as a soda jerk, I felt like I was really earning something that had value. And today, frankly, it's hard to know if tomorrow the dollar will have much value at all. That's what frightens all of us. We have to get this country back in the hands of business people, not in the hands of career bureaucrats who have never created a business, a product, or a service that anybody needs. Can you name one person in the upper reaches of government who you can name what business they ran before they went to work for Obama? Name one. Let's go down the list. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner. Has he ever held a job in his life outside of a government job? I don't know of one. How could a man like Timothy Geithner be in charge of the U.S. Treasury when he's never created a business or a service or a product that anybody ever needed? Who got me there? It could be that he grew up in a print shop. You're right. You got me there. Maybe his father owned a little Kinko's or something. All right, I'll be right back. Be here.
Savage.
Michael Savage is no longer in the gulag. I was put in the gulag when the United Kingdom put me on a list of murderers and terrorists, and I really have been fighting that for 2 years straight. virtually nobody in America has helped me with it. I mean, there have been a few people here and there, and thousands of you sent money to my legal fund, and I wish to God I could thank each of you individually. But I'm going to tell you right now, things are changing in my life. With the success of Trickle Up Poverty and what you heard on this show, I hope you caught the interview. We will rerun it again this week. Things have changed. I went to lunch, and it was a phenomenal table. I don't get out very often. I'm not a social guy. As you well know, you hear about me. I basically live a very, very lonely life, loner life. I have a wonderful family, but I keep to myself. So we're all talking, and it was very conservative. There was a young lady whose family had been in the newspaper business since 1815 in the South. Incredible. These are very hard conservative people. We had a nice time, and we're about halfway through the lunch, and Donald Trump shows up in golf clothing, and he starts holding court. He's standing on the steps above our table. I mean, he's like an emperor standing and giving, you know, like, there's the king. Well, his place, it's Mar-a-Lago, is his place. And he starts talking and telling us this, and he's great. I mean, he's a New Yorker, like I'm a New Yorker, in the sense that he doesn't stop talking. He tells you like it is. And if you try to get a word in edgewise, it better be a pretty smart word, or it's not even going to get in edgewise. So he's talking this and that. So I said to him, I said, Mr. Trump, I said, did you read Trickle Up Poverty right away? Yeah, great book. You're right. You're exactly right. So I said, what do you think about tariffs on Chinese goods? 100% right, he says to me. And to me, that became a litmus test of where I stood with regard to him as a businessman candidate. Because the Wall Street Journal, as you know, and so does the entire Republican establishment, oppose tariffs of any kind. They keep saying that it would establish a trade war, it would wind up costing us more than nonsense. Totally wrong. Trump agrees with me on that. So we're talking, and he says, you can't even find a product, a major product made in America anymore. Nothing is made here. Everything's made in China. So I said, Mr. Trump, I disagree with you. He said, what do you mean? I said, yes, there are products that are made only in America that you can buy in this country. You can buy them very cheaply indeed. He said, well, what's that? I said, a U.S. congressman. Well, the whole table broke out into laughter at that one because it's unfortunately and sadly true. But you heard him. We're falling behind even in the military. Just last week, the Chinese introduced a stealth jet that can run rings around our airplanes. How did that happen? Where did the Chinese get the technology to build a stealth aircraft? Do you think that they got it out of their own creativity? Or do you think that we have business people in this country who sold them the technology, whether it be the chips that they use in the computers, or certain, let us say, components or composites, rather, that are used for stealth technology? Where'd they get it from? They stole it from us through industrial espionage. And I, Rick, that is considered illegal in America. I apologize in advance for being a patriot. One thing I always counted on in this country was our military prowess. Under Obama, who is gutting the military, putting in policies that are destroying the very fiber of the social entity called the military, cutting back on weapons systems, etc., we are becoming a second-rate military power right in front of our eyes. And it's all happening within 2 years of this man and his seizing the power of the country. To tell you the truth, I wasn't looking forward to going on the air after the shootings on the weekend. You're listening to the Savage Nation, incidentally. This is not a figment of your imagination, nor is it a transmission from Mars coming in on your filling. It's the Savage Nation, the third largest radio talk show in the United States of America, probably the most influential amongst independents, because I am not a Republican. I'm certainly not a Democrat. But the fact of the matter is, after this horrendous situation of the murders over the weekend, I did not really look forward to today's show because it's all negative. I knew we were going to get the haters on CNN, ABC, CBS, and blah, 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 blaming the right wing, blaming conservatives. I knew they wouldn't talk about the kids' devil worship and the altar in his backyard. We have the picture up on michaelsavage.com. Go look at it. Look at it yourself. There's a picture of the devil's altar in this murderer's backyard. He was an inveterate pot smoker. He was known as a left winger. I knew you wouldn't hear any of it, but I didn't want to go on the assault or on the defense, and it's a very negative topic. How can you talk about murders in any positive manner? There's nothing you could say that's good. So when I went to lunch, and I was with those wonderful people that I mentioned, and Donald Trump came over, I didn't know that I would get along with him. I never really met him. I passed him by a couple of times over the years in similar situations, but we never talked, as a matter of fact. We got along great, And then I invited him on the show when he said he might be running, and I said, I think my audience would like to hear that. And then we talked more, and it turned out that we have so much in common in terms of our economic beliefs. I didn't even know he was a conservative. I'll tell you, I never knew he was that much of a right-wing conservative guy, and I think he is. I can't speak for him. The guy is gung-ho military. The guy is gung-ho nationalist patriot. And I personally think he could win because he's not a party animal. He's certainly not a Republican apparatchik. He's certainly not a Romney. He's not a Rockefeller-type Republican in that regard. That's why I had him on. And I'll tell you something else. I think that that's why you want to talk about it, because you need something positive right now. He gives us all a little bit of hope. He gives us hope that a businessman could come along who is patriotic, who is a nationalist, who is successful, who could run the country like a business, not an empire. My phrase, right? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. This is not the only topic. You can talk about the shootings. You can see what the vermin on the left is saying. For example, there's a guy named Joe Klein, a well-known radical left-wing, certifiable anti-American rat, in my opinion, on CNN. Listen to what he says in clip one. You're not going to believe
it. I do believe that the temperature out there among a certain segment of the population who sees things like illegal immigration, like a president who is a mixed race president, whose middle name is Hussein, there are a lot of people who have been encouraged in their extremism by stuff you see on TV.
And on
radio. Can't forget Rush Limbaugh.
Well, we can't forget Joe Klein, the lifetime of hate and the lifetime of lies that have come out of Time magazine. You talk about hate. You talk about anti-Americanism. You talk about the rhetoric of hate and the poison. You don't have to go any further than Time magazine and Joe Klein, in my opinion. So you want to start pointing fingers, little Joe. You better go look in the mirror before you do. We better put that aside for a minute. I have other stories, news from the country, around the world, and Hillary compares Tucson gunmen to ideologically driven terrorists. The journalists urged caution after the Fort Hood massacre, now race to blame Palin and conservative talk radio after the shootings. If you remember, on November 5, 09, when Major Nidal Hassan opened fire at a troop readiness center in Fort Hood, Texas, killing 13 people, do you remember what the left-wing media said at the time? They said, hush, hush, my darling. Don't rush the judgment, my darling. Don't say he's a Muslim. Don't rush the judgment. He may not have been the shooter. Oh, there were pictures of him on surveillance video wearing a white outfit in the morning getting donuts and coffee at 7-Eleven. There were stories that he said Allah Akbar before he killed everyone and shot the others. But we weren't supposed to even notice that because people at CNN and ABC and CBS were afraid they might offend certain individuals. The fact of the matter is, they urged caution after the Fort Hood massacre by Major Nidal Hassan, but they're not urging any such caution after this lunatic killed these people over the weekend. And yet, there are some, how shall I say it, beautiful, positive people seen in the midst of all of this mess. The father of the 9-year-old girl who was killed, you would think he'd be the angriest. You would think that the father of the 9-year-old girl who was killed, a little angel killed, you think he would be saying, we need restrictions on guns, we need restrictions on talk radio. He didn't say that. Listen to clip 14.
I know she wouldn't want things to change, would not want restrictions. I saw what happened to our lives, specifically because I traveled quite a bit. After 9-11, travel became a nightmare. We don't need any more restrictions on our society. I just think we gotta pick friends and family that we have surround ourselves with in this tragedy. If maybe that fellow who was shooting everybody.
Slain girl's father says the shooting should not bring around further restrictions on our lives, period. He does not want any changes in this country. And that's the man who we should listen to. 1-800-449-8255. Wind farms in the UK don't work in the cold. That just came out. They have a blizzard over there in England. As temperatures plunged below zero and demand for electricity soared, figures in England reveal that most of the country's 3,000 wind turbines were virtually still. They froze. They didn't work. I guess the green technology that Nancy Pelosi loves so much works very well at the University of California in a laboratory. What else should we talk about? Let's go to Albany, New York. Dave, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I was most impressed with your interview with Donald Trump. I found a new respect for him, as well as a new respect for you in having him on. I know you're not guest-oriented there, but
right.
I thought he made some very valid points, and I didn't realize that he was so knowledgeable on the international scene.
Yeah, see, that's interesting, but you consider he has, I guess, big projects going on in Asia, so I guess he's dealt with our little friends over there, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir, I do. I think his approach is, for one, it's very refreshing. Secondly,
plain English, look, we're in trouble. America's dying. Our factories are closed up. It's like we're going out of business. Who can save us but a businessman who's made a success of his life? Look at the field of candidates. Obama, no known job before he became president. He was basically a street activist. Never developed a product or a service that anybody ever needed. Doesn't know the first thing about providing a service or a product for anybody. What does he know about an economy? Nothing. Take a look at the career politicians waiting in line to become president. Have any of them ever created a business? I don't know of one, or a service that anybody really bought. No. I mean, we're talking about basics here.
Savage.
Let me explain something about the whole issue of the person in the middle or the independent. This is the independence year. This is the year of the independent. This is the year of the savage nation. This is the year that the people finally are heard, who have been marginalized, rejected, called every name under the sun by the Pelosi gang. Remember what they called you last year when you rallied? They called you dirty names. Pelosi and the evildoers in the Democrat Party had the nerve to call you every name under the sun, simply for exercising your constitutional rights to be heard. They've done it to me for 15 years. They've done it to the independents. But finally, the independents are awakened, and I think that the sleeping giant will not be put back to sleep too quickly. What do you think? I want to tell you something else. If you are an independent out there and you have been toying with running, let's say you have the charisma to run, or let's say you have the money to run, and let's say you've been toying as to whether you can enter this corrupt machine called politics and have a chance. This is your year. And I believe that we're going to see a meltdown of the Democrat, the extreme wing of the Democrat Party. 1-800-449-8255. Let's begin on the East Coast. New York City, WOR Joe. Go ahead, please. Your comment is important.
Hey, Michael, thank you so much. I tell you, when you said Nancy Lugosi, I almost fell out of my vehicle with laughter. It was great.
Well, and, doesn't she remind you of Bela Lugosi's daughter?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, she has so miscalculated her popularity. It's astonishing how out of touch with reality she is. You know, Obama, for all of his left-wing policies, is a very sober man, a very balanced and intelligent man. I don't like his politics, but no one can accuse Obama of being imbalanced. I would not say the same thing about Pelosi, frankly.
Every bit. And
well, I mean, what's with the fixed smile? Is it the Botox or what? Why? I don't understand this. Does she not understand what a laughingstock that she is in this country? Joe in San Fran, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, listen, Harry, little venomous spider. I'm sick of you saying things about Nancy.
All right, Joe. No one understood a word you just said. Start again.
Nancy Pelosi is not a gangster. She's helping out with global warming, the sea lions.
Well, hold on. What global warming? You mean the storms we're having now? The blizzards are caused by global warming?
Pier 39, sea lions are leaving. Indication.
Joe, I know that you receive your government medication today, but it's not really a good day for you to try to be an actual sober adult. It's not working, Joe. You see, most people who know, let's say, went to the seventh grade, know that global warming is a hoax, and that the scientists, so-called, who put forward this lie have been found out to be fakers and liars, Joe. I realize that information didn't get to you. It didn't come in the government package that came with the medication, Joe. But really, don't try to step up to the adult plate until you are ready, Joe. Have a nice day with the sea lions. You know, when Democrats speak of progress, they think that all progress is positive. Some progress is not very positive. Some progress is downright dangerous. And sometimes, I'll give you an example, it's backwards rather than forwards. There's a famous story of an Arctic explorer who was on an ice floe that calculated, he calculated that he was moving towards the North Pole at a rate of 5 miles every day as the ice floe was, he was on. He was sure he was walking ahead with the mush dogs at a rate of 5 miles a day. But he didn't know that the ice floe was moving south at a rate of 7 miles a day. That's what the Democrat Party is. They're mushing towards the Soviet Union, healthcare, you name it, czars, Sunstein, wherever you look, it's Marxism plain and clear. Naked communism, plain as a day, as the day is light. It's naked communism, and that to them they call it progress. And let me tell you something, don't assume all the people don't know this. You know, the media tells you it's about healthcare, which I'm sure it is. They tell you about taxes, it is. They tell you it's about the mishandling of terrorism by Obama, it is. But underneath it all, remember they got the message of how dangerous these extreme leftists are and what they're going to do to this country if they're not stopped. And so there's much more at stake than just those issues, in my opinion. And I have to tell you something. Even a left-wing Machiavellian mayor like Gavin Newsom in San Francisco, I was shocked that he had the intelligence to say we shouldn't put down the Tea Party people, we shouldn't put down the independents, we shouldn't smear them. We have to wake up to the fact that the people are pissed off and they don't like the direction the country's going in and what we're doing. He said that. He's smart enough as a politician to have seen what was going on. I can't say the same for others on the left. People like Boxer don't even know what's going on. So I think that some of the younger Democrats will, after this, move to the center. I think they're going to stop dancing with the devil, and they might start dancing with the Democrat Party. At least let's hope so. 1-800-449-8255. I believe, personally, Huckabee's got no chance whatsoever for many, many reasons. Sarah Palin destroyed McCain's chances. McCain had one thing going for him. I'll repeat it again till you finally get it through your thick heads, those of you who are Palinites. And I say that reluctantly because you always misinterpret what I'm saying. Palin's not a bad person. Palin stands for all the right things, but she's unelectable on a national plane. She has too many negatives going in. McCain had one thing going against Obama, if not anything else, and that was experience. Experience, experience, experience. And so who did that man get chosen for him? An inexperienced unknown named Palin. That destroyed his campaign. It neutralized his lead over Obama, his advantages over Obama. Now, I know who did this to him. I told you during the election it was his campaign strategists who are now out on the road, basically, out on the road attacking Republicans. I told you who they were. They're all turncoats. I can tell you who they are by name. They're the ones who kept McCain from coming on this show. They're the ones who told him not to go on Michael Savage and other right-wing talk shows because we were extremists. As a result, McCain is history. Chicago, Fred, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, it's just the opposite. The reason Obama and the Democrats are in trouble is because they did not deliver on the agenda they were put in there. They did compromise.
But what are you saying? They didn't go to the left enough?
Yeah, they didn't. Well, if you can call it left, but they wouldn't put in...
Fred, what sense does that make? Even Democrat pollsters are saying that you don't know what you're talking about. That the people want lower taxes, they don't want socialized medicine, and they want someone tougher on terrorists. So how can you say that they want more extreme left-wing behavior when the opposite is true?
No, it's not. I can prove it to you.
Go ahead.
Okay, number one, major reason he was put in was for the war.
Wait. Who? The major reason who was put in?
Obama, to get the troops out of the Mideast. He compromised.
But he didn't do that, did he?
The troops are still there. He compromised.
That's right. So he lied to his base.
Well, you're saying that Obama, that it's a lesson to Obama that he should move toward the center, and it's just the opposite.
Well, wait. Now you're mixing, you know, apples with oranges. You know, you lost the argument already. You know, you may be an intelligent man, but I'm not your wife. Come on, cut it out. Okay. The people want lower taxes. They want a tougher stand on terrorism, and they don't want the left wing agenda, and they don't want the elitism. So how can you say that they want more left-wingism?
Okay,
it's hard to argue with a person who doesn't have logic. And, Fred, you're not showing any capacity for holding an argument here. You're continuing to hammer your idea that America wants to go further to the left than Obama has already pulled it. Every poll says the opposite, Fred. Maybe in the communist cells that you hang around in, that is true. Maybe those of you who read those, you know, communist newspapers and such find that Obama has failed you, but most Americans don't. The opposite is true. Listen to me. I want to be very clear with you. I am an independent. You say, oh, he's just saying it to cover up the... No, I really am an independent. In fact, that's why you never see me on Fox News. Fox News is not an independent channel. They do some very good work, but you and I both know that they're not really independent. They're basically tied into the Republican machine. It doesn't diminish the good work that they do, but they're not independent in that regard. I really consider myself to be an independent. I have been registered as an independent for at least 15 years. So don't call me a Republican, please. I find that offensive. I believe the only people who can take this country back and save it from the abyss that Obama has taken us to are the unaffiliated, unaligned, the so-called independent voters. That's my feeling. I'll be right back.
Savage.
New York City, WOR. Tony, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage. Greetings from the armpit of America, New Jersey. I want you to explain to me, in all sincerity, and I have health care, so I don't care, but why is it that we America can't get any kind of health care reform completed, but we have no problem getting into wars? I don't know.
All right. I can understand that question, and I have many answers to each question. I don't know where you are coming from, though. I suspect that you are an independent-minded guy who wants more fairness for the average person is sort of what I'm hearing. Is that right?
That's correct. Like I said, I have health insurance. I'll always have it, so it doesn't bother me either way. But right.
Let's start with the health care issue. Massachusetts passed state mandated health care in 1996. You're aware of that, right?
No, I wasn't aware, but I believe
right.
your word.
They passed it in 96, and take a guess what they were promised. They were promised lower premiums and better care, and take a guess what they got. They got massive fraud. They got massive health care for illegal aliens, non-citizens in Massachusetts. They had a $2 billion cost overrun, and they got worse care. So that answers part of the question, I think. You see, Tony, here's the problem with thinking these things through. Most people don't know that state-managed systems generally are more inefficient than privately managed systems. It's very appealing to say, you know, if the government ran something, they could do it for no profit, and it would be done more efficiently. But I thought about this in great detail because many people are confused about what a government can and cannot do. Let me give you an example. You take a look at our food supply in America. Admittedly, it's abundant, right? There's more food than anyone needs. Isn't that true?
That's true.
Okay, so we have the best food delivery system, the best food production system, the best packaging system, the best distribution system the world has ever seen. But there are excesses, right? You go to a dumpster outside a supermarket at the end of a day, you're going to find corn, you're going to find packaged goods, you're going to find meat, you're going to find poultry that's thrown out, right? So people would say, gee, that's waste. 25% of the food in America that's produced is thrown in the garbage, and that's because of the profit motivation or the profit system. If the government ran the food system, why, they would say, they would know how much corn to produce, they'd know how much meat to produce, they'd know how much wheat to produce, and there would be no excess, there'd be no food thrown in the gutter. Isn't that what you'd hear?
Yes.
What actually happened when the government ran food can be seen in, for example, the ex-Soviet Union. The ex-Soviet Union was a state-run, everything was run by the state. And so you had a butcher store with one salami in it. Because the bureaucrats who counted the number of people and the number of cows figured out that they only needed a few salamis to service the population. And they didn't care if there were lines of people waiting for the one salami for one reason. Because to a bureaucrat, people are not human beings, they're numbers. And so to them, it doesn't matter if a number goes hungry. It doesn't matter to them if a number is denied health care. It doesn't matter to them if a number cries out for better health care. All that matters is that it's a more efficient system. That's the difference between a state-run system and a private-run system. Now, is a private-run system perfect? No. Is it full of excess and greed? Yes. But the more people wind up with more things than they do under a state system, in my opinion, generally, yes. And that applies whether it's health care or food distribution or food manufacturing or the manufacturing of cars. Of course you're going to have cars that people don't want if they're made by a private corporation. They'll take a chance. That's what capitalism requires. You take a chance. You build a product. If the people want it, they buy it. If they don't, you're stuck with it. So you say, gee, that's inefficient. Look at all of the waste of cars. What if Obama put out a single car called the Marx? Or what if he put out a single car called the Carl? And everyone had to drive this little red car called the Carl. Well, you wouldn't have any wasted machinery. You wouldn't have any wasted metal, no wasted tires. Everybody who wanted a car could only buy a car through the state, and it would be run by the government. And everyone would have the same red car called the Carl. Is that something that you think America wants?
No.
No, well, that's what you're going to get in the healthcare system. It's a little red car called Carl, devised by Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and Obama. They want everybody driving a little red clown car called Carl, and that's what they have in mind for health care. Now, with regard to wars, that's very interesting. Are we at war in Afghanistan because we need to be, or because the government, the military-industrial complex, wants a permanent war with Islamic fascism? Is Islamic fascism as dangerous as we are led to believe? Or is this being produced by the military-industrial complex in order to justify the manufacture of munitions? And is the fact that we can't seem to win any war a product not of solely of the military-industrial complex wanting the war to go on forever, but also because of rules of engagement that prohibit the soldiers from actually winning the war? Many, many elements to discuss. Here's another one. You know the Obama czar Sunstein, that crazy whack job from Harvard University? Well, this czar Sunstein has actually argued that government propaganda must be used to counter anyone's individual belief system. He wants government agents to infiltrate groups on the internet and manipulate them. That's what's going on under Obama. Let's go to Kansas. Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Michael. What we need to do in starting a new Bull Moose Party that's a non-progressive borders, language, and culture party that has some real balls. I think what you do is you take America and our collective unconscious through a kind of wormhole back to the past as a reference point for us about how much we have really changed as a nation.
Mike, are you a novelist or a psychologist?
I'm actually a novelist.
Oh, I knew it. I knew you were a novelist, but you couldn't wait to call a talk show. I love it. No, you speak as though you're a novelist. I just sensed it. I really, Mike, you know, you've really got my attention because your analysis to me holds water. If I were reading a novel, I'd say he's right about that. So what do I represent then? What does Michael Savage represent in your mind as a novelist?
You represent the bull moose consciousness of the completely unbridled freedom of speech in America that is so free, it literally is free within even time and space. You're so free in what you're able to do in your show that you can talk about a recipe at one point and sort of in the alchemy of all of that, you move back to the 50s. And what you do is you take us almost through a wormhole of time to where we feel like we're sitting in our living rooms in the 50s listening to a radio program in America of the 1950s looking to the future of America, which is where we're at right now, and saying, this is an outrage, of course.
Yes. Yes, we should all be able to speak as freely as Michael does. We feel it in our hearts. What happened to our voices? Who took away our voices? Why can't the birds sing in my heart anymore? Who killed the bird in my heart? Why are we living in oppression? This is supposed to be the land of the free and the home of the brave. To me, art not only imitates life, art sometimes, when it's really good, tells us what life really is. Mike, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, let me tell you, do this, because you triggered something in me. Since you say I go from the ridiculous to the sublime and back again, sometimes I don't get out of the sublime, and sometimes I get stuck in the ridiculous. I woke up at 4 in the morning. I couldn't sleep. So I had to entertain myself. I didn't want to watch TV. I didn't want to start. My eyes would start hurting. So I started to sing a song based upon love and marriage. But I knew just singing love and marriage wouldn't work. So you want to hear what I invented, Mike?
What?
It's called Lust in Marriage. You want to hear it? Here's how it goes. Because I wound up laughing at 4 o'clock in the morning. The dog thought I was crazy. It goes like this. Lust and marriage, go together like a horse and sewage. This, I tell you, brother, you must have one without the other.
Absolutely.
On to other topics. I watched a movie last night about the Dr. Zhivago. I had seen the David Lean version years ago with Julie Andrews? No, who was in that? The David. Oh, who? Julie Christie, so beautiful. Like you fell in love with her, right? She played Laura. Who was the lead, the guy? Not Omar Sharif. Omar Sharif, he was great as Dr. Zhivago, but I saw a better version last night. I don't know. It was on a channel called Oviat. I don't know what Oviat is. It sounds like something to do with ovaries. I don't know where it comes from, but it's a weird channel on cable now, Oviat. It almost sounds like an odd channel, but it isn't. They have all of these wonderful classic movies like Madame Bovary. So this was like an English version. It was so well done about the Russian Revolution and what communism actually brought to the country, the horrors of communism.
Savage.